In the 1960s, there was also a car called the Golden Gazelle. But this Dorcas Gazelle was not golden. It was more a rusty brown, not the smooth-haired type, but rather more hairy and fuzzy-looking, smaller, about 2 feet high, but certainly was very swift in the desert. Now, gazelles are renowned for their resourcefulness. I read that these gazelles can live for years without water.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Today we let the Bible speak on Dorcas, a woman of faith, a woman who was an example to all in the Christian life. Stay tuned with us as we let the Bible speak today, and later we'll have our moment with Mark.
So we're coming to Acts chapter 9 this evening, to the verse 36 onward, that passage that we read. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been looking at a number of men, I suppose 7 weeks. We had five in July, and the last two was Stephen and then Philip the evangelist. And we started out looking at the Christian heritage that we have in this land of Canada. And then it struck me that we must not forget those women and godly ladies who have served the Lord so wonderfully well. Did you ever notice that in the Bible, the Lord never called women to be disciples nor apostles? When he sent out the 70, and then later when he sent out the 12 and gave them the commission, that he did not call women to be apostles. And then as you move on in the New Testament, you do not find a pattern where women were called to be pastors of churches. You'll also find that when churches appointed elders and deacons, that they were to be men. Now, of course, that creates the question, why not? Are women less intelligent? Are they less capable? Do they not have talents in those areas and skills that might be of use to God? Do we not recognize that behind every good man is a good woman? Well, today we come to look at a woman. Her name is Dorcas, and from her life and service to God, we learn that the work and the witness of women in the church really matters, and matters a lot. Now, you've probably noticed in our Bible reading that this woman had two names. She has a Hebrew name, and then a New Testament, most likely a Greek name. Her first name is Tabitha. Now, that word means gazelle. You know the animal, the gazelle, one of the fastest moving animals in the desert. And actually, if you look up the books, you will find that there was a particular type of gazelle that is called the Dorcas gazelle. And it is found in Israel, certainly in the desert areas, and in vast areas of North Africa. Now, because gazelles are renowned for their speed, even motor companies have used the name. And there was a car way back in the 1950s called the Chevy Gazelle. Did anyone ever ride in one? Have you ever seen one? Well, it probably was around before I was born. So there are not too many of them on the roads or even in show places today. Now, in the 1960s, there was also a car called the Golden Gazelle. But this Dorcas Gazelle was not golden. It was more a rusty brown, not the smooth-haired type, but rather more hairy and fuzzy-looking, smaller, about 2 feet high, but certainly was very swift in the desert. Now, gazelles are renowned for their resourcefulness. I read that these gazelles can live for years without water. They can find moisture in plants, bark of trees, and bulbs in the ground. And so in the desert, they can survive and last enduring harsh heat, lack of rain for months and months and months on end. These gazelles are also social animals. They like to graze and be in herds. Now, sometimes in harsh conditions, they might be found just in pairs. But for the most part, they will congregate, they will operate in flocks, and they will move around together. Now, if you think of that, those characteristics of the animal, the gazelle, they do come into this woman Dorcas. And we need to look tonight to see some of these resilient characteristics, some of this efficiency, we might call it, in the character, in the life, and in the service of this woman Dorcas who lived at Joppa. And so I trust tonight that this message on Dorcas will stir up the ladies in our congregation. Now, we have a few here tonight, and I hope that others in our congregation will listen into this message, and they will catch the spirit, and they will be zealous to serve the Lord with the gifts and talents that they have. And we do not want it to be said that there is no place for ladies to serve in the church. There is no place for them to do a work for God. Now, what I want to do tonight is to take the letters for Dorcas, D-O-R-C-A-S, and make that my sermon. And the first thing you'll notice here in verse 36 is that this woman was a disciple. A disciple. Now, in New Testament times, the term disciple had to be earned. It wasn't something that was merely conferred just because you had a lip profession. This meant commitment, and it meant a life of service in the cause of Christ. Now, a disciple could also be a student who is seeking experience, opportunities to serve, and certainly we can put Dorcas into that category as well. She would have been baptized. Baptism is the initiatory rite into the church and showing that you have given up the old life, giving up serving other religions or idols, and now become a follower of the Lord Jesus. And so, as someone said before, ask not what Christianity can do for you, but ask what you can do for the cause of Christ and his church. Too often, the church is looked upon as a mere place of convenience, a place where we can get away with doing very little and enjoying all the benefits. And sadly, in many churches, it becomes a normal statistic that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And so this means discipline, discipline. To be a disciple of the Lord Jesus requires discipline. Now, because we read Bible stories and we read the accounts of the men and women who went around two by two and served the Lord, we always think of a disciple as someone that's just huckstering about from place to place, knocking here, knocking there, talking to this one and that one, living a rather haphazard life. But in the New Testament church, and Acts is the transitional book in the Bible. It is transitional from Judaism to Christianity. It's transitional from nomadic discipleship and traveling to the local church planted, established in a city or a location with people coming together, forming that congregation and serving the Lord within the ranks of the church. And that's what I want you to picture tonight, that God has placed us in a particular place. He calls us to a particular ministry, and we need to find our way of utilizing our gifts, our time, our talents, and I suppose I may add our tithe. You know, when that offering plate goes around, you don't want to be expecting all the others to be contributing and you do nothing. We all have a part in supporting the work of God. Now, if you were to ask me a question, Ian, what is the number one thing that I should do as a Christian to serve the Lord in His church? What would your answer be? The one thing that stands out, priority number one, above all others, what is the thing that a Christian should do so that their life counts as a disciple for Christ? My answer, consistently over many years, has been keep the Lord's day. One day in seven to honor, to worship, and in that context, to serve the Lord. Because worship and service go together. Your presence becomes an encouragement to others. Your attendance makes the function of the church possible. Your prayers in the prayer room of the church, and we do exhort you to come to the prayer times, whether they be on the pre-service prayer times or the midweek prayer time, but you're entering in and being in place and hearing your voice calling on the Lord in prayer. Now that obviously lets you know that we welcome women to pray aloud in the church. Some look upon that statement in the New Testament, let the women keep silence in the church, that the women should never be heard at all. If you take that to its end conclusion, you would say women shouldn't even sing in the church. Not even in the congregation. Let them be silent. Men only sing. No, the Bible does not teach that. Nor does the Bible teach that women should be silent in the prayer meeting. The women in the New Testament had a very vital prayer ministry in the church in various situations. And so, number one, keep the Lord's day. One day in seven. And that demands discipline. We're living in an age and a culture where the pressure is on to do so many other things. But let a Christian keep one day, and you will find that so many other things will fall into place as you worship and serve the Lord. And that will work for the health of your soul. It will work for the discipline of your family, and it will work for the good of the church as we keep the Lord's Day special. When we talk about keeping the Lord's Day holy, it simply means keeping it special. It is God's day that we set aside and set apart for Him. What number two then be? What would number two be? Make your home a little church. And this is something where the mother in the home or the wife in the home has a very big role. What happens in your home will determine your discipleship. Not just one day per week. The Lord's Day, a special day, a day of worship and a day of service, but Monday to Saturday become now your way of worshiping God in your home. And there you seek to feed your soul and to be separate from the world. And so what is on television, what is the media, the entertainment of the world, how much of that you let into your home will determine what you are doing as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Number three, be a witness to others. Bear witness to others as a disciple. Now, I bring all of that together because Dorcas was a disciple. Could we give you that name tonight? Could we give to the ladies in this church the name disciple? That you have set your life, set your weekly program, that you serve the Lord in a disciplined way, that you may bring honor and glory to Him. Now we move on to the O, and we see this woman was orderly and organized. If you look at verse 36, it says, "This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." Now, we spend a lot of time as we minister the gospel to the unsaved tabooing good works. And we say good works will never save you. Good works is the devil's trick to confuse you and to make you think that you don't need salvation by grace, the gift of God. And we preach against good works continually as we focus on the unconverted. But once you're a Christian, good works are good. They are not done, of course, to be saved, but they are done because you are saved. And because you want to follow the Lord and serve Him. And if you look at this verse 36, you'll see that Dorcas, she was really a very busy lady ministering to the saints. In verse 36, it says, full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She wasn't just dictating, go here, go there. She did. And then down in verse 39, as they came to weep over her death, we're told at the end of verse 39, the widow stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made. And so she put her talents as a dressmaker, as one good with the needle and the thread, or the wool, and she knitted and made coats and garments for those who were unable to clothe themselves. Oh, for a few dozen ladies, just like Dorcas. The worst thing that a Christian can do in God's work is to promise something and not deliver it. Dorcas wasn't like that. Dorcas went to work and she did what she said she was going to do. It's always better to under-promise and over-deliver. And that's Dorcas. She didn't make a big fuss about what she was doing, but she did a lot. And her name and work went before her. And in this way, she was like that gazelle, resilient, resourceful, able to do a lot with a little. And in that way, she served the Lord. Now, coming down to practical terms, to our own congregation, in our own church, in what areas may ladies so serve? Well, recently we had an appeal for helpers with our tiny tots, and we need ladies who will take that on the schedule. Sunday school teaching. There is a great need for teachers and helpers in Sunday school. Children's ministry. Preschool. We have a preschool that meets downstairs Monday to Friday. They would welcome someone to go in and speak to those boys and girls either weekly, and it might grow into daily, if there was a lady that is willing to do it. And if you're interested in that, talk to me. I will be delighted to hear of your interest in going in any time. Well, there's certain hours it may not work, but I'm sure a suitable time could be arranged that you could go in and just sit with those children, read them stories. You don't have to be a scholar. Just read them the Bible stories, pray with them, sing with them. And what a little ministry that could be to those boys and girls. There are some churches that exhort their people to have vehicles, some of them large, that they can bring children to the church. In these days, it's a bit of a clumsy affair for churches to have buses. Buses and vehicles that have to be insured. You need a second person on the vehicle doing the round, and it becomes very expensive and very demanding. But if you have people who have their own vehicle, they can bring a few children along with them. What a ministry that can be in the local church. And what a blessing that could be if you could bring even just one or two children along to the Sunday school. Now that will commence in a few weeks' time, and you could begin working right now, thinking of families and neighbors that you could talk to about bringing their children along to the Sunday school. And you could make that your ministry, your way of serving the Lord in his church. And so here's the O for Dorcas. She was orderly and organized.
Welcome to another Moment with Mark. That is Mark's Gospel, and we are turning today to chapter 2, verse 18. Let me read to you just a couple of these verses. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And when they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. How many people really enjoy their Christian faith? How do you assess that? Are Christians always to be laughing and lighthearted? Are we not also called to repentance and to mourn and to even lament over the sin of this world and in our own communities? One thing I would point out here is that there is a distinct difference in the disciples of the Lord Jesus compared to the disciples of John. It was asked, why do the disciples of John fast and your disciples fast not? We see that the Lord did not instill the spirit of a sour religion nor a negative attitude to his followers. This was so glaringly noticeable that some could not hold back the question. This observation and criticism was born out of envy. They could not hold back their spirit of criticism. They were obviously looking with suspicion for something to criticize in the Lord and his followers. And there lay the problem. They were not looking for the good and being glad of it. They were looking for differences and being sour about it. The religion of Christ is not born of bitterness, but of love and peace and of a sound mind. The Lord taught that his burden is light. Christ does not add burdens, he removes them. He taught his people liberty and the gospel of grace, not works, and not a doctrine of merit, which is misery. This comes down to what kind of greeting should a person give at the church door. It's as practical as that. Should we welcome sinners with joy? Should we preach the gospel with joy and gladness? Should we point sinners to the cross with enthusiasm and delight that their sins might be rolled away? Here are some examples given in Jesus' response to this criticism. Firstly, in verse 19, we read here, "Can the children of the bridegroom chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." The Lord taught that it was not the time to fast when the marriage was on and the groom was present. We must remember that the whole mission of the gospel is to call men to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember, too, that suffering for sin was done at the cross. All of the suffering was done at the cross. There is nothing left for us to suffer. We are justified by faith, and fasting has no moral merit. It does not pay the wages of sin. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. If we want to promote humility and deal with self-righteousness, we must preach the cross to ourselves. We die to self through faith in the finished work of Christ. And there is the recipe for joy, dying to self, to our own self-consciousness, our own chip on the shoulder, our own envy. Yes, envy, jealousy, and pride. These are the things that hurt. These are the things that turn religion sour. Get to the cross. Trust in grace. Believe in the joyfulness of a living Christ. And when he dwells within your heart, you will find joy in him. May the Lord bless you and encourage you today through his word. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.